Good morning.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs. That's going to be page 510 in those little brown Bibles in the back tables if you want to follow along that way.
This morning, we're continuing our series in Proverbs, and I thought I would open by showing you some of the comments that visitors have made to the Bridger Wilderness area after they visit. They fill out a comment card. Here are some of the things people who have gone hiking in this gorgeous area in our country. Here are some of the things folks have said. Too many rocks in the mountains. Too many bugs, leeches, spiders, and spider webs. Please spray the wilderness to rid the area of these pests. Wouldn't cost much money at all. Trails need to be reconstructed. Please avoid building trails that go uphill. Easy enough. Escalators would help on the steep uphill sections. And then this one, chairlifts needed in some places so we can get to wonderful views without having to hike to them. These comments remind me of a quote from a park ranger in Yosemite who said, "Trouble for me begins when the smartest bears and the dumbest visitors intersect." Well, one of the ways to study Proverbs is to study the fool. And there are a lot of different kinds and types of fools in Proverbs. There's a general fool, and then there are these more specific kind of fools. And one type of fool that is absolutely ridiculed in Proverbs is the sluggard. The sages of Israel reserve some of their best imagery and their sharpest critique for this sluggish, lazy, do-nothing kind of fool. Here's a sampling of what Proverbs has to say about the sluggard. Proverbs 26:13, a sluggard says, "There's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets." In 26:14, "As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed." Proverbs 26:15, "A sluggard buries his hand in the dish, but he is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth." 21:25, "The craving of a sluggard will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work." And then finally, 10:26, "As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes are sluggards to those who send them." Well, from those verses and others like it in Proverbs, we can reconstruct a typical day in the life of the sluggard. It begins early in the morning. Sluggard's alarm goes off. Beep, 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 beep. And he rolls over in his bed and he thinks about the coming day and all that he has to do. And he says to himself, "Just a little more sleep." And he hits the snooze button. And then he rolls back over in his bed. It's 9 more minutes of sleep. And this happens over and over again as the sluggard rolls back and forth in his bed, wanting to sleep just a little longer. And finally, when he does get out of bed, he's overslept and he's lost time, and so he can't attend to the first two items on his to-do list. Can't get up and pray. He can't go out for a run. But he says, "That's okay. That's okay. There'll be time for that tomorrow." He stumbles bleary-eyed out of his bed over to the window. He peeks out the blinds to check the weather. He's hoping it's icy so he doesn't have to go anywhere, but instead it's a gorgeous day. But he sees something in his yard darting behind a bush. It's probably his neighbor's cat. Now it could be a excuse me. It could be a bobcat, or even worse, it could be a lion. And he decides that's what it is. It's a huge, ferocious lion waiting outside to devour him. Well, when there's a lion roaming the streets, it makes no sense to take a shower and get dressed. So he goes back to bed, sleeps a while longer. He gets up again around lunchtime, heads into the kitchen. He's hungry, but he doesn't want to cook. It's too much trouble. And he's happy to find a bag of Cheetos in the cabinet. And so he plops down on the couch, bag of Cheetos in hand, and turns on the TV. And for the next several hours, he flips back and forth between different motivational infomercials, each of them promising to reveal the secrets of success and how to live a meaningful life for four easy payments of $19.95. And he's drawn into one particular program that features a woman who started a business in her home and then turned it into a multi-million dollar company. And he looks around at his cluttered living room and says to the TV screen, "I could do that." And then later in the afternoon, he falls asleep again. And he wakes up to find his hand buried deep in the bag of the almost empty Cheetos. Seems he's fallen asleep mid-bite. And he's disgusted with himself. And he vows to change his life. He declares to the heavens, "I will work hard to achieve my goals, starting tomorrow." At bedtime, sets his alarm 30 minutes earlier than usual. And he throws away today's to-do list and writes a more ambitious one for tomorrow. And he snuggles into bed. He begins to think about all he will accomplish the next day. A lot of it's not going to be very fun. Much of it won't be easy. In fact, most of it will be hard work. And the sluggard drifts off to sleep, dreading the sound of his alarm in the morning. And so it is. Another day in the life of the sluggard. Proverbs is hard on sluggards. Not a lot of grace and mercy in Proverbs for sluggards. Sluggards are lazy. Can't get out of bed. Avoid hard work. They make excuses for why they can't ever get anything done. There's a lion roaming in the street. They lack initiative. Even if there is a lion in the streets, who's going to organize a hunt to take care of the problem? Not the sluggard. Sluggards procrastinate. They have a hard time getting started, and when they do start, they have a hard time finishing. They can put their hand in the dish, but they can't bring it back to their mouth. It's a ridiculous image, but it makes the point. Sluggards spend the majority of their time and their energy dreaming and talking about living a better life, but they never take action to actually make their life better. Sluggards can't be trusted with anything important. If you trust one to do something important for you, you will be disappointed. Those who employ sluggards, Proverbs says, it's like having someone blow smoke in your face or drinking a cup of vinegar. The sluggard's problem is that he wants to be rewarded for work he doesn't do. This gets to the heart of why the sluggard is the way he is. He has failed to make the connection between today's activity and tomorrow's reward. He's failed to perceive one of the fundamental principles in the wisdom tradition. You reap what you sow, also known as the principle of the garden. Because if you want to reap a harvest in the fall, if you want to enjoy the fruits of your labor in the winter, God has designed the world to work in such a way that you have to plant a garden in the spring, and you have to tend it in the summer, but not the sluggard. Here's what the sluggard does. Proverbs 24, sluggards do not plow in season, So at harvest time, they look but find nothing. And this is a ridiculous image to me because it says the sluggard doesn't do the work, doesn't plant, doesn't tend, and yet at harvest time, the sluggard still goes to the garden to look and see if something might just happen to be there. It's a ridiculous image that betrays the mindset of the sluggard who doesn't make the connection. If you want to survive the winter, you have to work in the summer. Ants understand this, but the sluggard doesn't. Proverbs 6 says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." The sluggard engages in magical thinking. Magical thinking is when you think good things are going to happen to you somehow magically, even if you do nothing to set it into activity in the world. Sluggards live in a fairy tale world where they think little elves come out at night and do the work that they don't want to do so that when they wake up in the morning, the world will be as they want it to be. It's a fairy tale existence. Another way of saying this is that sluggards don't understand or practice the principle of delayed gratification. One of the biggest differences between the immature and the mature, the foolish and the wise. One of the ways you know when you're growing up, one of the ways you know when your kids are beginning to grow up, is you see them practicing delayed gratification. When you have to do something difficult or hard or unpleasant today, believing that it will lead to something pleasant, a reward, something good, tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. And it's the only way to get ahead in the world. The sluggard wants to be the star on game day, but he doesn't want to practice hard or do conditioning drills in the off season. The sluggard wants to walk across the stage and get a degree, but she doesn't want to attend class or study or write papers. The sluggard wants to be a best-selling published author, but he doesn't want to spend time alone toiling away on his laptop. The sluggard wants magnificent views, but she doesn't want to hike uphill to see them. The sluggard wants to reap a bountiful harvest without spending any time in the garden. And this is simply not the way the world works. Proverbs is hard on sluggards, because a sluggard is a kind of fool who thinks he can just sit back and wait for good things to fall from the sky. A sluggard is a kind of fool who is not able to discern the way God has ordered the world to reward those who work hard and to discipline those who do nothing. And those who sit back and do nothing, life isn't kind to. Life is hard on those who can talk but not act. And eventually, Proverbs says that sluggards will reap what they sow or reap what they do not sow. There will be consequences. They will be overcome with difficulty and trouble and disaster and even destruction. Proverbs 24, verse 30 and following. "I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man." Now, the opposite of the sluggard in Proverbs is the diligent. The diligent is everything the sluggard isn't. The diligent gets out of bed. The diligent likes to work. The diligent sets goals and achieves them. The diligent tends his garden and reaps the harvest. The diligence needs are satisfied while the sluggard goes hungry. Proverbs 13:4, sluggard's appetite's never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Now this is Proverbs at its black and white, either or best. This Proverbs breaks the world down into two categories. Either you are this lazy sluggard, this grasshopper who's going to starve in the winter, or you are this diligent ant who's going to prosper. And that's it. And this is probably a good time for me to remind you of something I said back in January when I introduced this series. And that is that Proverbs is a collection of generalizations, general wisdom that is mostly true, or true most of the time, which means there are exceptions to the principles and the truths we read in Proverbs almost every single time. Take this topic, for instance. Not all poor people are lazy sluggards. Not all poor people who haven't yet found success in life are lazy sluggards. And not all rich people are diligent hard workers. Sometimes the poor are poor because they're being exploited by the rich. They are oppressed by a system that's holding them down, and they are the victims of unfathomable circumstances. And sometimes the rich are rich because they were born into a wealthy family. They have trust funds. There are exceptions. The goal when we read Proverbs is not to look for the exceptions. That's more Ecclesiastes' job. When you read Proverbs, the goal is not to look for the exceptions to the principle of the garden or to try to figure out all the different ways that lazy sluggards aren't responsible for their demise. No, when we read Proverbs that way, we miss the mostly true principles that we most need to hear. Because the question this morning is not what are the exceptions to the principle of the garden. The question this morning is, in what ways am I a sluggard? In what ways can I identify with this over-the-top, ridiculous description of the sluggard in Proverbs? How am I like that? Well, we can all agree that the proverbial sluggard is an exaggeration. Do you really know anyone like that? This lazy, drooling, snoring slob who falls asleep in front of the TV with his hands buried in a bag of Cheetos? I don't run into a lot of proverbial sluggards in this neighborhood. This neighborhood was not built by sluggards. Nor do I believe that there are many, if any, proverbial sluggards here this morning. Certainly not at first service. What I believe is more likely, though, is that all of us have the potential to be sluggards in one or two key areas of our lives while exercising impressive diligence in other areas. Maybe this slide will help you envision your life as a garden. And like most gardens, there are little sections, little parts of the garden, each growing a little different crop in each section of the garden. And it's entirely possible to be successful in business and be a relational sluggard. It's possible to achieve your career goals, have that part of your garden looking great, and yet having the relational part of your garden as a spouse or a parent overrun with weeds. It's possible to look successful and be diligent in one area of your garden and have another part of your garden completely disarray. It's possible to be diligent in maintaining your physical fitness and your appearance and be a spiritual sluggard. You can spend hours training your body and yet never invest in the exercises or the disciplines or the activities that can train your spirit. It's also possible to be spiritually diligent and be a financial sluggard, spending hours in prayer and Bible study and meditation and growing close to the Lord, and yet when it comes to managing your money and staying out of debt, you can't take action. We can all be intellectual sluggards where we refuse to do the hard work of thinking for ourselves and instead take the easier route of letting other people think and form conclusions for us. And it's just intellectual laziness. Let's put a finer point on this question. The question isn't just in what ways am I a sluggard, but what areas of my personal garden am I neglecting? What are those areas that I know my garden just not spending enough time there, not spending enough energy? And as you think about those areas of your life where you may be a sluggard, I invite you to open yourself to the Spirit's leading this morning as God might bring to mind some first steps you could take to start working in that particular area of your garden. Is it a conversation with your spouse or children that begins with you saying, "I'm sorry, I haven't been here"? Is it setting up a meeting to pursue long-delayed reconciliation? Is it saying yes to your friend's invitation to go to Bible class or join a study group? Is it turning off the TV today and going for a walk or signing up for a fitness boot camp or cleaning your pantry of all the junk food you have? What is it? You know. It's there right now, working its way into your mind. And even as that first step floats to the surface, you're also already thinking of all the reasons and all the excuses for why now is not a good time to do it. And this is the battle that constantly rages in the sluggard's heart. And the more important your first step is, the more excuses and the more reasons you will be able to come up with for why you shouldn't do it right now. Sluggards never manufacture enough excuses to keep them from playing video games all day long. The mind just doesn't work that way. But there's always a ready excuse for why now is not the time to go for a walk or set up a meeting or make a phone call or initiate a conversation. Because there's a lion roaming the streets. Yes, there is. But there's also a lion inside of us. The presence, the spirit of the resurrected Christ, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the living wisdom of God, who in his story did not shy away from the hard or the difficult thing, but instead faced it, even though it hurt, even though he didn't always want to. He faced it, he embraced it, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he overcame it. And now he calls us, as we follow him, he calls us to follow him and trust him as he shows us how to do the same by leading the way, but also filling us with the courage and the power and the strength and the energy we need to take that first step, to go to that place in our garden and begin to work. May the lion that is inside of us, at work within us, may that lion help us overcome all the lions we imagine to be waiting for us in the streets. Let's stand and sing.